Okay, good morning. Today's blot is Daf Nun Zayin. We were on the very bottom of Daf Nun Vav Amud Beis. And we're dealing with different stories about the topic of Yei Nesach, wine that the non-Jew touches or actually pours to his idols. So we are four lines from the bottom. Ahu Uvda, there was a story, Tahava ben Naharda, that happened in the city Naharda. Tidashu Yisrael v'ovid kochavim lahu chamra. There had been wine that a Jew, together with a non-Jew, had stepped on the grapes to make it. V'shaye Shmuel. And Shmuel said, okay, we're going to leave the wine. Tlasa Rigli, for three festivals, for Pesach, for Shavuos, for Sukkos. We're going to wait till all the rabbis come through. Because rabbis came on Pesach, and rabbis came on Shavuos. We're going to wait for all the rabbis till we'll decide what's going to be with this wine. So Gemara asks, my time, well, why is Shmuel waiting? Is it because he was saying to himself, or to others, I'm going to wait to see which rabbis come through, because maybe there's going to be a rabbi who'll come in and will teach that halacha is like Rabbi Nassan. Rabbi Nassan holds that the wine becomes prohibited to get even benefit from it as long as the non-Jew touched it. The non-Jew didn't have to stir it, move it, do an act of pouring with it. Just the non-Jew touching it with his hand already prohibits it. I'm waiting to see if other rabbis are going to say halacha is like Rabbi Nassan. And if there'll be a rabbi who says halacha is like Rabbi Nassan, then I'll be strict. I'll say you can't get benefit from this wine because the non-Jew touched it. The Tanya, we learned in a braisa. Midado, let's say there's wine of a Jew and the non-Jew measures it. Bein biyad, either by putting his hand into it and seeing how far it goes onto his hand. Bein beregel, or by putting his foot into it. Yimaker, you can sell this wine to non-Jews. In other words, the Jews shouldn't drink it, but you can sell it to the non-Jews. It doesn't become prohibited from benefit. Rabbi Nassan or Biyad Aser, if the non-Jew measured it by hand, in other words, he put his hand into the wine, then you're not allowed to sell it, even to non-Jews. You can't get benefit from it. Biregel Mutter, but if he measured it by his foot, in other words, his foot touched the wine, but not his hand, then you're allowed to get benefit. You can't drink it, but you're allowed to get benefit because that's not the way of pouring to an idol, to touch it with the foot. So one second. So he's saying, maybe he was waiting with this wine to see, maybe people would come. Paskin, like Rabbi Nassan, who say that if it was touched by hand, it becomes prohibited to get benefit. And he would then, once there are those who paskin like Rabbi Nassan, he would prohibit it from benefit. But the Gemara says, one second, Amar Damar Rabbi Nassan Biyad. Rabbi Nassan only prohibits it to get benefit from it if the non-Jew touches it by hand. Beregel Miyamar, did Rabbi Nassan ever say that if the non-Jew touches it by foot, that it would become prohibited from benefit? No, and here it was just that the Jew and the non-Jew stepped on it together. They made it by foot. Ella, so what was he waiting for? He was waiting for the following. The Mishkachana Tana Deshari Kribi Shimon. Maybe there'll be a Tana who will come, who will permit this wine entirely. Because Rabbi Shimon says that if a non-Jew touches it without intent of touching for idolatry, then it's fully permitted. So if I'm going to find a Tana who agrees with Rabbi Shimon, Yishraye, I'm going to permit this wine, afilu bishtia, and even allow people to drink it, because this was a case of a non-Jew touching, but without touching with the intent of serving it for idolatry, so then I would permit it entirely. That's why I'm waiting for the three festivals to see if other rabbis come. And in fact, there are rulings like Rabbi Shimon. Yeah, question?
I'm saying, a few days ago, in a mistake that I've seen, but why we already came to conclusion that it's just Dorech before it's going to the Tepuah, but it's just Dorech Tayayin in Yehudi.
Right. That was permitted, that wine.
Correct. So what is the difference with Rabbi Ayin? What is doing now? He's not Dorech with him, Israel?
It was wine from both of them, yeah. They both made it.
So Shmuel has
He's waiting to see if the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon. If the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon, then it'll be permitted. He's waiting to see what's going to be the ruling.
So if they touch it by hand, it's not kosher.
According to Shmuel.
If touched by hand, according to Rabbi Nassan, you can't get any benefit from it.
Correct.
According to the Chachamim, you could still get benefit. It's only if they actually do an action of pouring, an action of pouring to the idols, stirring with the hand.
But is Asur as a kosher one?
You can't drink it, according to Rabbi Nassan.
You can or you cannot?
All right, now another story. Hahu Avda, there was a story, the Hava Biram, in the town Biram. We are on Nun Zayin Amud Aleph. Dahu Ovid Kochavim. There was a non-Jew, Davakasalik Bediklav Aisalulava. He climbed a date tree to bring down a date, a palm, right? To bring down a lulav. How did the Kanachis, as he was coming down with the lulav, Naga Barosh the lulav b'chamra, with the head of the lulav, he touched the wine of a Jew. Shalom b'kavana. I wasn't trying to do this for idolatry. So now the question is, what's the status of this wine? So Rav said, don't drink it, but you can get benefit from it. Sharia Rav was vuni lo de kochavim. Rav allowed them to sell the wine to non-Jews. They're getting benefit even though they're not drinking. Amalei Rav Kahana Rav Asi l'Rav. Rav Kahana Rav Asi said to Rav, v'amaru da'amar. But you, Rav, the master, is the one who said, Tinok ben Yomo, if you have a non-Jewish baby who's one day old, Ose Yeinesech, if he touches Jewish wine, it becomes Yeinesech. Certainly there's no intent for idolatry in the touch of a one-day-old baby, but nevertheless, it makes it Yeinesech, and you can't get any benefit from it. So if so, why here is it not Yeinesech? Amaluhu, so Rav answered to Rav Kahan and Rav Asi. Emur to Amrana, when do I say it's Yei Nesech in the regards to Shtia, that you can't drink it. Even if a little baby's the one who touches the wine, you can't drink it. But Banami Amri, I never said that you can't get benefit from it. You could get benefit. You could sell it, and that's what's going on here. I'm not saying that they could drink the wine once it was touched by the non-Jew's lulav, who touched it with his lulav. No, I'm just saying you can get benefit, but you can't, in fact, drink it.
Is it like he stirred it up with his lulav? Is that
no,
what
that would be deliberate. Sure. He came down with the lulav and he happened to touch it.
But his hand touched it? Or
no, the lulav.
The lulav.
And
he's holding the lulav.
Correct.
Together.
He's holding the lulav and he's pushing it with the lulav. But not intentionally.
It was not physical touch from his hand.
Well, it's still his force is touching.
So this is again no good to drink.
No good to drink, that's right. Okay. Now, question.
That's why you're not allowed to drink kosher wine if it was poured by a Gentile?
Correct. Non-mevushal. If the wine is non-mevushal, that's this issue, exactly. Exactly. Gufa, we learned. Amar Rav. Rav said, Tinok ben Yomo, a non-Jewish baby who's only a day old, Osa Yeinesech. If he touches the wine, he creates a prohibition, as we just said, not a prohibition of benefit, but a prohibition of drinking. Esfer Rav Simi Bar Chia l'Rav. Rav Simi Bar Chia challenged Rav. We learned, Halokeach Avadim in Ovdei Kochavim. If a person buys a slave from non-Jews, Shemalu v'lo tavlu, and these slaves have already had circumcision, but they haven't yet gone to the mikvah, or b'nei ashvachos, or he buys children of maids that grew in Jewish homes. Shemalu v'lo tavlu, that have had circumcision, but haven't gone to the mikvah yet, so they are still non-Jews, because they haven't gone to the mikvah. So then, Rokanu midrasan, their spit, or whatever they step on or sit on, even bashuk, even in the market where safek tumah is tar, because it's a public domain, is tameh, is impure. Because the rabbis have decreed that the spit of non-Jews is tameh, like a zav. V'amrila, other opinions say that their spit is tahar, because some say that a slave who has circumcision but hasn't gone to the mikvah is an unusual case. So the rabbis didn't create their prohibition for this unusual case. Okay. Another law in the Braisa, Yenam, the wine that's touched by the slaves that have circumcision but haven't gone to the mikvah. So what happens to the wine? Gedolim, if these slaves are adults, Osin Yenesech, and they make it into Yenesech. Ketanim, if they're minors, Ein Osin Yenesech, it doesn't become Yenesech. Veluhein Gedolim, Veluhein Ketanim, says the Braisa, what's an adult, what's a minor? Gedolim is Yodim B'tiv, Avodas Kochavim B'sham Sheah. The adults are those who know well the nature of idolatry and the implements that serve the idolatry. Tanim, the minors, or Einam Yodim, they don't know really idolatry that well. They don't know what it's all about. Katanimiyas, okay, now that we have the Braisa, so what did it say? Gedolimim, if these slaves who've had circumcision but didn't go to the mikvah deal with the wine, if they're adults, then they make it Yenesach. But if they don't know idolatry, they're minors, they don't make it Yenesach. So that's against Rav, because Rav said that even a baby one day old who touches the wine makes it into prohibited to be drunk. Answer the Gemara. Tere Gemara, you can explain the end of the Braisa. Abnei Shvachos, the case of the slaves that are coming from Jewish homes, the children of the maids. So since they're growing up in Jewish homes, so they're really basically practicing Judaism. So then when they're minors, if they touch the wine, it doesn't become prohibited. But when they're adults, so then if they're experts who know idolatry, then when they touch the wine, it does become prohibited. But if you had slaves or non-Jews in non-Jewish homes, and even a child who touches the wine makes it prohibited. So the Gemara says, how could you say that there's a difference between the non-Jewish slave who grows up in a Jewish home versus the non-Jewish slave who grows up in a Gentile home or a Gentile? Havachein kamar. But the Braisa's point was that whatever the law is with the non-Jewish slaves, that's the law with the non-Jewish slaves in Jewish homes. It speaks about avadim and bnei shvachos. No, that means that they're the same in regards to Rokan and Midrasan. They're the same in regards to the spit. And in both, the spit is considered an avatoma, but not in regards to the law of Yenesach. That works according to the first view in the Braisa, that both of them have spit, which is tame. So then I can understand why we need it. To say even though they grew up in a Jewish home, their spit is tame like a zav. But according to the second view of the Braisa, that both the non-Jewish slaves from non-Jewish homes who've had bris milah, as well as but didn't go to the mikvah yet, as well as the non-Jewish slaves from Jewish homes who've had bris milah and didn't go to the mikvah, their spit is tahor. So Michael and Amar, how are you going to explain the Braisa? Right, why would the Braisa need to say that they're both the same? If the non-Jews who are purchased from non-Jews, so long as they've had bris milah and haven't yet gone to the mikvah, already are not tameh. Certainly if he grew up in a Jewish home, if he's had bris milah and he hasn't gone to the mikvah, his spit is not tameh. So the Gemara says, the point of the Braisa was to compare the non-Jewish slaves that grow up in Jewish homes to the non-Jewish slaves that come from non-Jewish homes. Hakamashmalan, and this is the point of the Braisa. Avadim dumya d'bnei shvachos. Non-Jewish slaves are like the non-Jewish slaves that grew up in Jewish homes. Mabnei shvachos malu v'lo tavlu hu d'osin yeinesech. Just like with the non-Jewish slaves who were from Jewish homes, it's only if they had circumcision and didn't go to the mikvah that they would make the wine Yenesach through touch. But malu v'tavlu lo. But if they had circumcision and went to the mikvah, then they would not create Yenesach. Af avadim, so to non-Jews purchased from non-Jewish homes, came. If they had both circumcision and they went to the mikvah, then they do not create Yenesach. La fukedr of Nachman amar Shmuel. And the point is to reject the view of Rav Nachman who said in the name of Shmuel. I'm Rav Nachman, I'm Rav Shmuel, because Rav Nachman has said in the name of Shmuel, Alokeach avadim ino v'dei kochavim, if you purchase slaves from non-Jews, even though you circumcise them and you put them into the mikvah, still osim yei nesach, they still would make the wine they touch yei nesach, until idolatry is forgotten from their mouths, until they really leave it. When do they really leave it? We're going to learn. It's going to take 12 months for somebody to forget something. That's what the Chiddush of the Braisa is, that no, we don't agree with Rav Nachman. And even within the 12 months, when they touch, it's not going to be Yei Nesach anymore, because once they had Bris Mila, plus they went to the Mikvah, now they have the status of Avadim. Avadim don't make it into Yei Nesach.
In the wineries, warehouses, where the big barrels are there,
sure.
So those barrels are being moved by Jew?
Yeah.
Even the lift, the guy who's running the lifting, to lift it up and everything, these are Jewish?
I believe so. Although, as we're going to see later in the Masechta, if a Jew bottles or puts, packages the wine and there's a double seal, then it doesn't become prohibited by the non-Jew. As long as he didn't break through
double
the seal.
Double seal, cork and the wrapper.
That's right.
Double
seal. That's right.
That's what it is.
All right.
That's
right. Oh, no, thank you. That's so kind.
Oh, now I know where you broke it.
Okay, Gufa, let's go back to this Braisa. I'm sorry, go back to this law. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel. Rav Nachman says the name of Shmuel. Halokeach avadim ino v'dei kochavim, a person who purchases slaves from non-Jews. Afal pishamalu v'tavlu, according to Shmuel, even though they've been circumcised and gone to the mikvah, the domain of the Jew, osin yei nesach, whatever they touch becomes yei nesach, whatever wine they touch becomes prohibited. Until they get to the point where they don't even mention Avodah Zar anymore. What is that point of them fully leaving idolatry? How long does that take? I'm Rav Yeshua ben Levi, it takes 12 months. Esve, Rabbler of Nachman, Rabbi, challenge of Nachman. What we just had learned. We learned in the Braisa, if a person buys slaves from non-Jews, and these slaves have been circumcised, but they haven't gone to the mikvah yet. Or b'nei shvachos, if you buy slaves from Jewish-owned non-Jewish slaves, who've been circumcised but haven't gone to the mikvah, rukanu midrasan, so then they're spit. And whatever they step on, bashuk tameh, even if it's in the public market, it's tameh, because the rabbis have created a prohibition and made the non-Jews like zavim. For Amrila, but others say that it's tahor, because since it's an unusual case, the rabbis did not create a status of tumah to it. Yeinam, but what about the wine of these slaves? Gedolim, if these slaves are adults, osin yei nesach, then the wine they touch becomes prohibited. Tanim, but if they're minors, ein osin yei nesach, the wine they touch does not become prohibited. This is the definition of adults. This is the definition of minors. Gedolin, adults. They know the religion. They know the nature of the faith and its implements. Ktanim, the minors. Those who don't know about the religion. So says Rabba, Katani Mias, but the Bryce is pointing out. If they had circumcision without bismillah, then their touch as adults could create a problem to the wine. But malu v'tavlu, but if they'd had circumcision and gone to the mikvah, then lo, their touch is not going to create a prohibition. So that seems to be against Rav Nachman's point in the name of Shmuel, because Rav Nachman says that even after somebody comes into the Jewish home and is circumcised and goes to the mikvah, you need also 12 months. For the first 12 months, when he's still remembering his idolatrous ways, the wine he touches does become yei nesach. That seems to be against this braisa.
And this is Jewish?
No, we're talking about a non-Jewish slave.
Okay.
Answers the Gemara, Tirgama, the way you can explain this braisa, that it is implying that if there was an immersion in the mikvah, then the touch doesn't make it yei nesach. Abnei Shvachos, about the non-Jewish slaves that grew up in Jewish homes. but the non-Jewish slaves that are purchased from the non-Jewish homes, maybe since they're so immersed in idolatry, even after they go to the mikvah for their Jewish master, they still make the one yei nesach until 12 months. Says the Gemara, how could you say that that's what's going on? The same question we just learned before. Havachin katani, but the Bryce's point is to equate the non-Jewish slaves coming from non-Jewish homes to the non-Jewish slaves coming from Jewish homes. It says, and so too. So the Gemara says, no, maybe they're being equated, arukan and midrasa, and in terms of the spit, and in terms of Tomas Medris, that the spit of both is tamei, that what they step on is tamei, but not in regards to the law about yei nesach. That works if you would want them to, if we need to learn that both of them, their spit is impure. But if you're going to say that both of them, their spit is pure, so Michael Amema, why do I need to equate them? Once I've told you that the non-Jewish slave who grew up in a non-Jewish home, since he has circumcision, he didn't go to the mikveh yet, he had circumcision, now that he's coming into the Jewish household, his spit is not impure, so then certainly the non-Jewish slave who grew up in a Jewish home with circumcision, his spit is not going to be impure. So I said, I'll tell you why, what we just said before, the reason why we had to equate the non-Jewish slaves from non-Jewish homes, the non-Jewish slaves from Jewish homes, is to tell you, the non-Jewish slaves from non-Jewish homes are like the non-Jewish slaves from Jewish homes. Just like the non-Jewish slaves from Jewish homes. It's only when they are adults that they can make it into Yei Nesach. But the minors who've been circumcised don't make it into Yei Nesach because they grew up in Jewish homes. So too the non-Jews purchased from non-Jewish homes. If they're adults, they make it into Yei Nesach. But as children, they don't make it Yei Nesach. And the point of the Braisa is lafuke midirav, to say, not like Rav, I'm a Rav, because as Rav said, we said before, tinuk ben yomo osa yei nesach, that even a baby one day old who touches the wine makes it prohibited. Kamash, when the point of the Braisa is the low, that it's not true, it's only gedolim. But maybe it's not to reject the idea of Rav Nachman Amar Shmua. Okay, now a new story. Ahuvda, there was a story, Davab Mechoza, in the town of Mechoza. Asa over Kochavim, a non-Jew came. Ayel Chanusa di Yisrael, he went into a Jewish-owned store. Amar Luhu, so the non-Jew said to them, Islechu Chamer Lizbuni, do you have any wine to sell? Amru Lo, they said, Lo, we don't have any wine. Have a Yosef Chamer B'davla, there was some wine there in a bucket. Shadi Beyada. The non-Jew not only put his hand to touch the bucket, but sich sech ba, he stirred it around. Now that's already nesach. That's already pouring. Amru Luhu. So they said to them, the non-Jew said, I love chamru, this isn't wine. Shakle hayich birischei. So the Jew was very angry. Because he said, you just ruined all my wine. You just stirred it to Avodah Zarah. So the Jew took the wine and shadjiladana. And he threw it out. He said, you know, I'm not going to let you drink from it. So in his anger, he grabbed the wine and he broke it. So now, what's the halacha here? Sharye Rava lezavuni lovit kochavim. Rava would say, you could sell it to a non-Jew. Because Rava would hold that even though he stirred it, that's not considered idolatry yet. Wasn't in a church. So you could get benefit from it. And if Lugu Alei, Rav Huna Bar Chinan of Rav Huna Bar Nachman. And Rav Huna Bar Chinan of Rav Huna Bar Nachman disagreed with Rava, and they held that you're not allowed to get any benefit from it. Nafuk Shipuri to Rava Visharu, so Rava's, you know, trumpets came out with his psak saying you're allowed to benefit from the wine that the non-Jew stirs in the store, not for idolatry. But after she puried Rav Huna Bar Chinan of Rav Huna Bar Nachman, and the trumpets came out for Rav Huna Bar Chinan and Rav Huna Bar Nachman, Vasri, and they prohibited.
But
So they have to throw that wine in the sewer. That's it.
According to these opinions, that's right. They would say you'd have to throw the wine into the sewer. Exactly.
Rabbi,
right.
There's no problem with selling wine to Gentiles, right? Kosher wine today.
No, no problem.
Rabbi, in
all the way around.
In the simchas that the wine is being served by goyids, is there all mevusha stuff?
Yeah. So just to read the halachos here in the back. The halachos are like this. If a non-Jew touches non-mevushal wine by hand or even by foot, it becomes prohibited. Some say the touching of foot does not make it prohibited to get benefit because that's not the normal way of pouring to the idols. But if a non-Jew touches wine through something else, like the non-Jew coming down from a tree holding a lulav, and he touches with the top of the branch wine without intention, or if he was walking and he, with his garments, he touches the wine without intention, or if he's intending to touch but he doesn't know that it's wine, the halacha is you are allowed to drink from it. And the same thing is true if the non-Jew put a faucet onto the barrel, or he takes wine out without intent, he is allowed to drink from it. Now, nowadays, the non-Jews are not big idol worshippers, so therefore, when they touch, it's always considered a touch without intention. So therefore, if they touch through something else, even though they knew it was wine, you are allowed to drink from it because it's considered touch through something else without intention. And even if he touches with his hand, if he didn't know it was wine, it would be permitted. But don't tell this to people who are not so knowledgeable because they might go too far with this. Wine that's in a public domain and a non-Jew comes and he stabs it with his knife to get the wine out of the barrel, whatever comes out is prohibited. What's still in the barrel is permitted, because since he's just trying to make a hole in the barrel and he wasn't trying to touch the wine, even though he did touch the wine, it's touch without intention, and therefore it stays permitted. What about a non-Jewish baby? A non-Jewish baby who doesn't know what Avodah Zarah yet is, if he touches wine, you can get benefit from it, but you cannot drink it. Now, the children of the maids that are growing up in a Jewish home, if they've had bris milah but they haven't yet been circumcised, so if they are adults, then if they touch the wine, you can't drink it. But if they're children who touch the wine, you're allowed to drink it since they had circumcision, even though they haven't yet gone to the mikvah. If you buy slaves from non-Jews and they are circumcised and they went to the mikvah, then whatever wine they touch is permitted, even though they haven't yet taken on the Jewish practices and they still think in idolatrous terms. Once they've been purchased by the Jew and they've done circumcision and gone to the mikvah, whatever they touch is permitted. Why is mevushal permitted? They never prohibited mevushal. Because that never goes on the...
They don't use it for idolatry.
Yeah.